I'm telling you, I got money. I knew. You know when you broke, you know the exact amount of money you have in your account, right?
Welcome to another Latino Wira podcast. I'm the Latino Wira podcast, Christian Hennis-Meyer, and today I'm with Anthony Fuentes. For me, he's one of the first person that I truly believe in my comedy, because he saw me killing in my buddies. I believe it was my buddies. And was like, hey, I want you to be in this show. So he vouched for me to be in Latinx XL. I believe the first time I did Latinx XL. Yeah. And then he recorded a special. He has a special. What's the name of your special?
My Way. The special's called My Way.
My Way. He did like 1 hour and 20, and people were like laughing for all that time. But he gave me the opportunity to open for him, and it was an amazing show. It was
a good time. I remember I had you come and do a spot on there, because the first time I saw you was at my buddy's.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to lie, you exploded on the scene, because it was a show that I don't really do my buddies. But I was like, ah, you know, it was for my boy Ruben. Shout out to Ruben Ramirez. That's my guy. And, you know, everybody's going up, and then you went up, and I didn't know who you were. And the crowd was being reckless, and you handled it like a puss. Say, yo, I like this guy. You're funny, bro.
There was one heckler, and he. Yep. I remember, like, he was like heckling in Spanish. The show was in English, and he, as soon as I got in, like, I don't look Latino. Like, I don't look that I know Spanish. So as soon as I grabbed the mic, I didn't say anything, and he said, "Chino, chino, japonés, solo sabe hablar inglés," which translate to Chinese, Chinese, Japanese, you only know how to speak English.
It sounds better in Spanish.
It sounds better in Spanish. But the first shit I say is like, yo hablo español, mamá huevo, cállate la boca. And everybody was like, whoa. And then I start I roast him. Like, you look like a fucking Oompa Loompa that escaped from the factory. Like, and then I invite him on stage. And he's like, no, thank you. Oh, no, you're shy. You're shy.
Yeah.
Dude, it, fun times.
He was. And you were, because I didn't think it was Hispanic. You don't look like things. Like, if we got pulled over, I would go to jail. They would let you go. we got the perp. We got him.
But I gotta like not talk, because if I talk and they hear the accent.
Speak, though, I'm like, mira, Antonio Bandera, here he is to perform and do his thing. But you handled yourself really well, and you were funny. Your whole set was funny. And the thing is, I always go by this method. If I'm gonna do a show, I want a killer on stage before me. You know what I mean? Bring him because you keep the crowd hype. If I have somebody who's not as good, and then they do horrible, now I got to bring the crowd back in, you know? And you handled yourself, boy. That's why that special was so great, because I had Calvin Evans, the
who
GOAT.
Who is amazing. I want to have him
here. GOAT. That's my brother, Calvin Evans. He's my guy to talk about basketball. He hosted, and I asked him. I didn't think he was going to do it. I was like, yo, it'd be an honor. He's like, man, I'm there. I'm like, that's my brother. And then you. And, bro, you held your own, held it down, had the crowd dying. So when I came out, it was just like,
dude, and I believe like this is something like a lot of people, doesn't matter if they're comics or something else, they don't do how is it? I haven't tried it.
This is good.
Nice. Okay.
I don't even like vegetables. This is fire.
It's just corn.
It's gonna be not gonna say I eat vegetables today, so I can eat bad later.
Nice. But usually I am super hard with myself, and I was like, oh, it was decent, I could have done better, why I picked this joke, you know? I was like self-hating myself, like, now I know now, but it's good that I will do so much better now, because at that moment I believe the jokes were good, but I didn't have like the riffing and the talking and the taking moments, like situation that happens on the audience and riff about that.
Yeah,
I believe now I've been kind of practicing, because I host my show, so hosting gives you a lot of experience on that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I always try to open opportunity in any joke to talk to the audience, and that helps me a lot.
Yeah,
it get me into a weird situation. I have one situation that happened to me in New York. I'll tell it after this question.
Yeah.
Do you feel now you need to have the crowd work to be a good comic, or you can be a good comic just telling jokes and it's like don't talking to people?
I think it's this. You got a lot of old school comics that hate on comics that do crowd work. I'm not gonna lie, I used to be one of them. But then I thought about it, you know what? There's still an art. You're still doing an art, because it's improvisation.
Yeah.
And it's actually really hard to do crowd work. You know, you got guys like Ken Flores, a monster.
Yeah.
And he's funny as hell, but he does crowd, but he knows. You have to be really good at it, you know, like Ken Flores, you got Matt Riff, you know, and all these guys. Riff, I'm sorry.
And no, guys, now he's angry. He's watching the podcast, he's like, motherfucker.
Right. Man, he's going to call me and be like, I was your fan. I was your biggest fan. Here. Nah, but, you know, I think they're both equality. If you're good at doing jokes, then do jokes. But if you could do the crowd work and you're good at it, by all means, if the long as the audience is laughing, that's what they paid for.
You have an amazing storytelling. I love storytelling comics because it's difficult to get a story and people interested in the story when the story is like long, like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's fucking difficult to get people like involved so much with the story that it can have moments like 1, 2, 3 minutes of no jokes. But the story is so good, it's like, no, keep on going because at the end I'm going to punchline this motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, you know, I learned that from one of my mentors. He always taught me, Mark Vieira said, put the audience in your world. When you're telling a story, make them be in the story. You know, because if they're, cuando tú estás diciendo una historia, when you're telling a story to somebody on a regular, you're getting details, right? Because you wanted them to envision what happened to you. You know, it was dark, it was raining, details, you know? So, you know, the number one point is put the audience in your world. If they feel like they're part of the story, they're going to be glued. You understand? And then when you drop that punchline, it's going to hit even harder because they've been glued to the story.
You know what I've been finding? Like what I'm finding that worked for me, that, again, every joke that I write, I find the opportunity to talk to people.
Yeah.
Because when you involve people in your joke, they fucking love it. Like I have, for example, I have a joke that I talk about kids. And I talk about the sounds they make when they do something bad. That's a moment, perfect moment to ask the audience, like, does anybody have kids?
Mm-hmm.
Always someone have kids.
Yeah.
And then I ask, what is the sound your kid made when they were a toddler and they do something bad? And it doesn't matter what they say. Like, they're now feeling both because they're like, okay, we're going to relate to whatever the fuck he will say later.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke is like the kids make like, uh-oh. And it's like they can spill water or they kill the dog. Like, you never know what the fuck happened.
Yep.
And I have had many people who asked like, no, there was one. I laughed so hard that he responded so sad. Like, no, he's already old and he left the house. I was like, are you trying to turn this into something sad? Like, when he was a toddler, he was like, he doesn't talk to me anymore. And I was like, okay, sir, like, I'm going to ask someone else. But I will say my example, what happened to me with riffing, because I know you riff a lot, and I want to know if this had happened to you. I riffed on one joke in New York. It was in New York. Like, I asked this woman. She was in the crowd with the lights. You don't see shit. So she's like kind of the first person I saw. I have a joke when I ask about my accent. Ah, what do you think? And it's 3 moments. I ask like, how do you think? What do you think about my accent? Usually, like, ah, fine, it's good. Then I push it. It's like, do you think it's cute? Usually I say yes. I push it. Do you think it's sexy? There, some people drop out. It's sexy. And then I push it a little further. And it's like, should we kiss right now?
Trying to make it uncomfortable.
But I pull it immediately.
Yeah.
Unless you wiki. I'm so sorry. That was me. I just got carried on that. And that break makes the people laugh.
Yeah.
And I asked, like, should we kiss right now? And I stopped, like, oh, so sorry. I keep going, and I heard the table talking. This is the air, right?
Yeah, it's the air.
Yeah, I'll have to turn it. I'll turn it in the pause. but I asked this woman, and like minutes later, they started like talking in the table. I was like, hey, what's going on? One guy that he was from the shadows, he was like, no, you should kiss her because that way she will enjoy her 5th anniversary because there's not going to be a 6th one.
Oh,
and I was on stage like, I just created a problem in this thing. But my way out of it is like, dude, like, your accent is also sexy. You know what?
Yeah.
This is the second marriage I'm breaking. Yeah. It's not even the first. The first one, I fuck her. And that was like a break, and then I continued with my jokes.
Yeah, you won him back over. So I can't pull that off.
I believe I didn't win him over. I believe he was mad at me.
But were you able to turn it, though?
Yeah, right? For me.
Yeah, like, because you don't want him mad. You don't want him mad the whole time, and the audience turns on you, you're screwed. That's it, you're fucked.
So what's your worst heckler moment that you're like, dude, this guy fucked
me? Man, I've had a lot of here we go. Well, story time. All right. So
okay,
to perform in Arizona, right? I'm at the Tempe Improv in Arizona. Mark Vieira and I are performing there for the weekend. I hate flying. You understand? Because I've done a lot of bad shit in my life that I have no business tempting God being 30,000 feet in the air.
Okay.
You understand? So I'm on the plane by myself, and I have a habit that whenever I'm about to land, whoever's sitting next to me, I don't care. You're now my friend until we land because I need somebody to talk to me to distract me. So there was a young lady next to me, and we're chatting it up. She was a good kid. We're talking, you know, she's in her 20s visiting, you know, her friends. I'm like, that's good, man. Live life. You're young. Enjoy your life, you know. And I'm watching the plane behind her as it's coming in, and it's coming in fast. And here's the thing. I watch a lot of Top Gun, so I know when planes are coming in fast. You understand?
True story. That's the same reaction. Like, I'm a doctor. I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. I know what is happening.
Man, I'm Latino. That's why I'm like, I'm a pilot. I know that this is not supposed to be 5 knots that we're coming in. And he's coming in fast, and I see that out of behind her. I see that. And the plane stops and keeps going. It goes back in the air. But the pilot don't say shit.
Of course.
So now I'm sitting there, and she's still talking like everything's normal. So I'm a little calm. But then she stops and notices, yeah, the plane's back in the air, stupid. We're going the wrong way. Tempe, we just passed it. What's going on? And the thing is, the pilot's not speaking. You can't do that to a Puerto Rican like me who's paranoid. Are you kidding me?
Okay,
bro, I instantly thought terrorists have taken over the plane. Beta, I'm going to be, mira, I'm Wesley Snipes. You understand? Beta, I'm passenger 57. Always been on black. I got this. You understand?
I like that the terrorists wait for the last minute. Like, should we take it now? He's about to land.
Yeah, what I'm thinking. I'm like, they were waiting for this moment. So I'm getting ready. I'm like, who's going to be my shield? Who am I putting up as a hostage? We're going in. So the plane, the pilot finally gets back on after like 10 minutes. And I swear to God, this is exactly how he says it. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're going to need you to reach up and grab and pauses the air vent. You can't pause and say reach up. I'm thinking the oxygen mask. Yeah. I'm like, shit, it's not coming down. I'm thinking, damn it, I shouldn't have fallen asleep during the stewardess, the flight attendants, you know, briefing because now I don't know where the button is. And then I heard air vent. In that brief half a millisecond, that's where my brain went, bro. A Latino, we think at 1,000,000 miles an hour. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So already my whole life has gone before me of when he said, reach up and grab. I'm like, oh, my God, the oxygen mask. Who I got to put it on? Why did I fall asleep? Why did this happen? I said, hey, he said, the air vent. I'm like, pendejo, why would you pause? You know? So now I'm becoming the captain. I'm Phillips. I'm Captain Phillips. You understand? I'm on the plane yelling at people. Yo, turn your air vent on. You didn't hear what he said?
Did you call the people, I'm the captain?
Yeah, I should have. I am the captain now. Yo, I'm yelling. Turn your air vent on. There's a guy, swear to God, not lying. There's a Spanish dude sitting next to me, and he's on his phone. I look at his phone, I go, that better be in airplane mode. I look at his phone, he's like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Give him back the phone, I'm panicking. The girl's like, calm down. I'm like, you calm down, all right? Because we're about to die. I'm thinking the worst.
She start crying.
Yeah, so the plane goes in and lands, but it lands hard. Everybody in the plane's like, and it just, we brace, boom, lands the plane. He apologized, said it was because of the heat, was too strong, pushing the pressure, putting the air. I said, whatever, I don't give a shit. I'm home. I'm here. I'm not leaving Arizona. I live in Arizona now. You understand? I'm like, yo, this is my home.
This is the story how he moved.
Yeah. And then now I live in Tempe. No, so then we get there, and I call Mark. Mark's at the airport waiting for me. We always take so long. I'm like, yo, the plane almost crashed. I almost died. And he's like, what? I go, yeah. And I tell him what happened. He starts, man, you know how many. I go, fuck your stories. This is me, bro. I almost died. I don't care about you. I almost died. So I'm already panicked. And I'm telling you all this because this was what led to the worst heckler ever.
Yeah, no, keep going.
So we go, we get to the airport. We land. The first thing I think to myself is everything I saw in my life was I've been on a diet. All the fucking cupcakes I've passed up on, all the burgers I said, you fuck that, mira, we're going to In-N-Out Burger right now. You understand?
I love that.
Yeah.
This is fatty thoughts.
This like, is fat man problems.
Like,
fat man problems
is when something is about to happen to you. You're like,
I should have had that damn burger. Me lo había comido. So I go, we get to In-N-Out. We get to the hotel, we check in, we go to In-N-Out. We pull up in the Uber, right? Excuse me. Edit that out.
Dun.
And then we go talk to the Uber driver. He's taking us to In-N-Out. We pull up to In-N-Out, and this bastard locks the damn doors. He goes, I want to talk to you guys real quick. What the fuck? What are you going to talk to us about Jesus and the Church of Latter-day Saints? What are you? And he looks at us. He goes, you're going to In-N-Out. It's your first time, right? I go, yeah. Then he starts to give me a whole spiel of what I need to expect. And then I'm like, pendejo, just let me out of the fucking car. I just want to eat, bro. Oh, don't expect this. When you order this, leave me alone. So Mark tells him, yo, I got this. I've done this before. So we get out the car. We go order our food. Mark is a bigger comic than I am. Obviously, he's been in the game for 20-plus years. The man's been on HBO. His accolades go on and on, you know, 30 Rock, you name it. I'm an up and coming comic. You know, I'm getting there. But, you know, I've made some money. So, you know, I try to flex a little bit because, you know, I got some money. You know, I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm tired of looking like a charity case. So we get to In-N-Out. Total's $28. I did the boss move when you put the hand on the chiller. Yo, yeah, no, chill. I got this. And I take my debit card. I give it to the guy. He goes, declined. I go, get the fuck out of here. You got to be kidding me, bro. I'm like, no, it works. I'm telling you, I got money. I knew. You know when you broke, you know the exact amount of money you have in your account. Right, bro? When you broke, you know well. You're like, I got $347.32 in that damn bank. I know for a fact.
Less $2 from the
plus the $2 from the charge fee that they charge me at the end. I know everything, bro.
I know.
So he keeps trying to card. Mark's like, bro, I said, no. I'm telling you, just keep going. So finally, Mark goes, I got it. Swipes his card. He gets the payment. I get mad. I call the bank. I sell him the money first. I go, sell him. I go, no, just to show you I got money. I ain't broke. I gave him 30 just to go above and beyond. I said, mira, here's 30, see? And then he goes, bro, why are you tripping? I go, because it's pride, bro. So I call the bank, and they go, oh, we held the payment because you've never made a purchase in Arizona. And I'm like, pendejo. Do you think if I stole my card, the first thing I'm going to do is go to In-N-Out Burger and spend $28?
In Arizona.
You understand? I go, know your audience. Look at my charges. They've always been restaurants. Like, this is the norm. What's wrong with you? So, anyway, get that situated. We get to the hotel. I get ready. We get to the show.
Perfect.
Show's about to start. 500-plus people. It's a packed house. Tempe showed up. Thank you, Tempe. And we had a great time. So the host is there. So the way improv is, you have the first green room that you go and you chill. Then you have the staging area green room. So you walk in, they walk you to behind the audience.
Okay.
And there's a separate room lounge area to wait behind the stage, right? I'm there in that area, staging area. I'm doing my routine. Every comic has a routine. You may pray. I snap my fingers. I do my confessions. I do what I got to do. I call it brujeria. I'm like, santeria. All I need is a chicken set. And I'm here, let's go. So the guy is hosting, and he's doing a great job. Dude is real, man, and it sucks that I don't remember his name, but I was high as a kite by then. You understand? I'm like, I need to get high. So he's going, and I'm hearing a drunk lady in the front going ham, talking the entire time. Now, you know, as a host, you want to kind of control the crowd. That's your job, is to control the crowd, crowd control. You set your rules, you set your boundaries, then bring the comic up. No, he goes through her talking. Right?
No, you gotta be like, talk to me, but when the comics is here,
he doesn't
shut
address
that fuck
it. He waits to the very end. Now, this is an old, this is probably like 60-year-old blonde lady. She got the low cut dress, you know, them things is popping out, everything. So she's, you know, bougie. And he's like, ma'am, which is the worst thing you could say to any woman, ma'am. You don't call a woman ma'am. You know what I mean? Ma'am.
This is like, man, you're crazy. Your next comic is like
that. Oh, it got worse. He goes, ma'am, there's 500 plus people here, and they can't hear it unless you shut the fuck up. That's what he says.
Second thing, you should never say to a woman, shut the fuck up.
Never, never. Calm down, shut the fuck up, and hurry
ma'am.
Up. Three strikes, and ma'am, that's it.
Yeah.
So he goes, and then he says, shut the fuck up. Now give it up for your comic other night. Yes.
No.
Brings me on stage. And I'm like, of course, I've almost died. You understand my life? Because in Latino world, I almost died. I don't care that it was just a hard landing. I've told people in my family, yo, I got to fix my will. I almost died today. You understand? Yeah,
I'm reborn.
Yeah, I told my mother I had an out-of-body experience. I accepted Jesus, mom, today. It happened. So I get on stage, and I'm going crazy. And I'm killing it. I'm dropping fire. And I'm trying not to address her because I just had a long day, and I don't want to waste my set time dealing with her. You know what I mean? And I say this because out of respect. There's people who could do crowd work, like Ken Flores. They're boss at it. My fear is like, I can, but I get scared I'm going to get too dark.
Because
I get real hood. You understand? Then I get mad. I want to fight you. You know what I mean? Like, but these guys are blessed with that talent. Like Ken Flores, you, freaking Matt Rife. These guys, you know. Adam Ray.
I'm getting there. I get it.
No, you got skills. Adam Ray, you know, I've seen these guys. They got skills. So I go on. And I'm getting enough laughs that nobody hears her. But I'm watching her argue with her husband from across the table. These tables are like that. So I'm like, oh, boy. And I'm keeping going. And then the husband had enough, gets up and leaves. I said, son of a bitch, he left her unsupervised. She's unsupervised.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now all her attention's going to be here. And sure as shit, there it is. And she keeps talking and talking and talking. And finally, I'm doing a joke. And she goes, goodness gracious, I'm like, great balls of fire. I go, what the fuck, man? Why won't you just shut the fuck up? You understand? Because that's how I handle crowd work. Like, I'm personal with it, you know? And she, I'm like, yo, people here pay to hear freaking comedy. If you don't want to hear it, just leave. And the crowd starts at least applauding. And then she keeps talking shit. And I finally said, I'm like, why the fuck is crackhead Pamela Anderson giving me? And the crowd just dies.
Okay.
They're going in. And we literally had an interaction for about 5 minutes. And I just roasted the shit out of her. And I explained to her, I go, ma'am, I don't need this shit. I almost died today. They didn't want to take my money in and out. And now I got to deal with your fucking ass. And I just laid into her and, you know, I handled it. And it was so crazy because I thought, like, it's my first time at this club.
Yeah.
You want to leave a good impression. I'm like, fuck, they're going to hate me now. Them supervisors are never calling me back here again.
No. Because you handled the situation.
Yeah, I walked off and the supervisor, the manager, like, yo. You smash, bro. You snap. Yeah. You this. And I was like, so I told him straight up, though, I can never take credit because I'm just who I am. You could say, Aunt, you killed it. And I'm saying, nah, you know, it's because of this. It's because that. Because I just grew up too humble to accept credit for shit. So they tell me that, and I'm like, and I instantly said, I go, that's Chicago. I go, if it wasn't for Chicago, I wouldn't have been able to handle that because I learned comedy in Chicago. That's where I started. And Chicago crowds, you got to be a pro to handle a Chicago crowd. Because I've seen these pros do it. Corey Bell, Leon Rogers, Calvin Evans, you know, like. So I learned off of it. I told them, I go, that was Chicago. And it just so happened. They're like, by the way, we filmed it. I was like, let's go. It was like my one crowd interaction. And it got filmed. What are the odds? Yeah.
Okay, we're going to put an asterisk there because we need to make a pause. But I want to keep talking about Chicago. But
yes.
We're coming back.
These
and we are back. We're looking for that woman. We look for that woman, and she's still drunk.
She's still drunk.
She's divorced now.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk a little bit because I have topics to talk about. But the Chicago and I believe some of my audience, thank you so much for subscribing. They are more into what happens outside of your comedy life or your opinions, but. I just wanted to say that I believe Chicago is a place to really, really, really grow your skills as a comic. Mm-hmm. And then you can go kill in Tampa. You can go kill in some, like, all the other places. I recently was in the Comedy Bar, and there were people from Atlanta, from Phoenix, from Canada, and I killed. And I did so good, and I was like, now I know I can do it in some other places because I make people from other places laugh.
Exactly.
And it's like, Chicago is hard.
I'm going to say, I love this city. This city, I adore Chicago. I love Chicago with every fiber of my being. You understand? So I love to see us win. And when I say us, I mean the comedy family. You understand? All of us. And so it's a beautiful thing when I've gone to a different city to perform. And it just so happens a Chicago comic that I know is on that same lineup but has moved there. Olivia Carter.
She's amazing.
I was doing a show in New York, and I see the lineup. I go, Olivia's here? Yeah, she moved here. And to watch her go there and straight just kill it, I'm like, yo, Chicago is in the building.
Jessica,
like,
Mizitano is in Texas. She's killing
it. And it's so dope because it's always...
The short guy, Adam.
Adam. I know you're talking about Gilbert.
Adam Gilbert, dude.
Yes.
He's...
My dog.
Fucking monster.
He is. And that's what I love to see because I go out there and it's like, and I always tell people, I'm like, yo, you give me any top five Chicago comics and they'll wipe the floor with any city. I'm sorry. It's just how it is.
I love
every city, but I'm just saying Chicago's built different. It is.
And it's tough because in the same Chicago, I believe there's so much competition that the shows are hard. Because people have too many options of good shows.
Yep, exactly. So you got a lot of options for good comedy.
For good shows. But I wanted to talk a little bit, because I'm trying to do it too, about I see you're in a weight loss journey.
Yep.
Which is amazing.
As I'm eating pork, butter, cheese, and corn.
It's a little bit, and it's amazing, okay? Wait.
Where the Jaritos? Yo, Jaritos, you better sponsor this man. I'm going to die, and he still got me to drink this.
And I brought 4 different Jaritos.
He did. He had an assortment of flavors.
Yeah, Jaritos is really good. But I'm trying to, like, what do you believe is your exercising, right?
The secret? Watermelon.
Watermelon is the secret?
So I went through a very bad breakup. And I'm very transparent, you know. It was a very bad breakup. It was some on my end, her end. It was both ends, you know?
Okay.
But, you know, it was very bad to the point where it was toxic and it became a depression. You start to lose faith in yourself. I learned to start loving myself again. I said, yo, I'm going to start going back and eating watermelon. Swear to God. I was watching a TikTok video. Guy was doing it. I said, I'm going to try it. So I ate watermelon every day. In the morning, afternoon, at night, I would have a small dinner because I'd be full off the watermelon. And if I was high and I wanted munchies, I'd eat watermelon.
Okay.
People don't realize a watermelon is 80 calories, right? It's filled with water, so it's speeding up. It's boosting your metabolic rate, so it's making your metabolism speed up. It's good in fiber, great for your blood pressure. It's phenomenal. You understand? It's water, and you're filling yourself up with it. I just started shedding weight, like, fast. I lost from, I was 335 pounds in, like, 3 weeks. I was down to, like, almost 299. And I was holy shit. Yeah, I was thinking I was sick. I was like, because you know Latinos, we always think the worst. But I was
Do you think it's like, because there's always a stop. There's always like from 300 to 335 to 299.
And then stop.
Might be easy from 299 to 960 might be easy. But then it starts to be like a little more difficult.
Well, the watermelon, I swear to God, bro, that shit is gold. Get you watermelon. It's the secret. I swear, bro. Watermelon, you need to sponsor this, man.
yeah, watermelon sponsors.
Jaritos, we need a real watermelon flavor. Put real watermelon.
They do have it.
No,
they
one with the real watermelon. You got to put a bottle, fill it with watermelon, and be like, Jaritos, and we got watermelon Jarito.
But, like, watermelon, like, like, the farmers? Just contact this guy.
I'm the guy.
Is that Ozempic? Fuck that shit. Yeah, you watermelon. Need Ozempic.
Well, see, here's the thing. I wanted to try Ozempic. You understand?
Okay.
Every fat person does because it's the easy way out. But then I heard so many side effects, and they said once you lose, if you stop using it, and you don't, one more little mistake, and you gain it all real back and fast.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And more. So I said, man, I ain't got time for that. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. I ate the watermelon. Once I got to about 295, I signed up for a gym, and I started hitting up in the gym. And now that's my life. You know, you have to make it a lifestyle. Now I'm down to 260.
It's discipline.
Yeah, it's discipline. I'm down to 260, but again, it's discipline. There's days that I fail, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, but there's days that then I try to make up for, and the days that I fail, I go the next day, like, let's go harder. You messed up. Now, use it to go harder and punish yourself so you don't mess up again.
Okay. Well, maybe we're going to get into a complicated, dangerous topic with this, but what do you think about the people who are like, oh, no, body positivity, and it's like, accept yourself as you are? Because I believe you can accept yourself as you are, for sure. But if you're at a point that is a risk for your own life, you got to smart enough to realize, like, no, it's not okay.
It's one thing to be, to feel good about yourself and your body.
Yeah.
Whatever your design is perfect. You understand? It doesn't matter. However, you can have a longer back, shorter legs. You understand? I feel deformed. I got a longer back, shorter legs. It's funny. I don't care. But the thing is, it's about health. Once you get to, like you said, to that point, that's where I was. Like, I was hard to breathe.
Exactly.
I was like, you know, and I got kids. I want to be around for them. So I got to make a better choice for my own being. But do it because you want to do it for your own being. And the first step is loving yourself, loving with who you are. Like you said, you have to love your body the way it is, good or bad.
But like, my point is that I feel some people put this campaign of love yourself as you are, and they low-key are pushing people to embrace being that obese. Because being fat, I'm fat. Like, you're fat. Like, a lot of people are fat. But being fat is okay.
No, you can't call yourself fat. You're not there yet, bro. You're not there. You're husky. You're husky. Okay, you gotta say you're husky.
I'm fat.
You understand? On behalf of fat people, I speak up and I say, this is fat. When you still can lift the belly up a little bit, that's fat. When you get
okay,
there.
Thank you. I just brought you for that. Now I feel better with myself. Now I love my body.
See, that's what this whole was. It was all a scam.
But, like, I do believe, like, when they kind of tell people, because I've seen it, like, they tell obese people that they're at a risk, that they have back pain, they walk up a flight of stairs and they're like done, and they tell these people, no, love yourself, you're beautiful as you are. Like, no, like,
I'm sorry, those are morons. Because if you're encouraging bad health, then you're a moron. Because why would you say, keep getting diabetes, come on, you got this, keep eating that sugar. Lose that foot. Great job. Like, this makes no sense. Like,
now you look better.
Yeah. Now you got one less leg. Now you weigh less. No, it doesn't work like that. It's not how it works.
But and to prove it, like, there's no motivational video that is like, a skinny person or fit person that is like, this is my journey on gaining 200. Well, yeah, for real. It's the other way around.
You don't see that. Like, watch me gain these 200 pounds. Unless you're the supersize me guy, did it? He did the documentary where he ate McDonald's just to show how bad McDonald's. And now he's dead. So you know what? Maybe it is. See? Don't be that moron. Encourage people to get healthier. That's what I'm saying.
Encourage people to get healthier.
Yes.
I put three topics for you.
Yeah, hit them up.
And this makes sense. They connect somehow. But I do believe this is stupid. And this guy that did the McDonald's thing is stupid. But I believe, I don't know when it started. I don't know if it's the media, because I believe my generation, at least, is a little like guilty of what is happening. We embrace so much to see stupid shit on TV, online, or whatever. Like, for example, for me, Jackass. Like, Jackass was like a lot of people endangering themselves, and they got famous because people love to watch that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it went to TikTok, social media. So now, that voice is not just this group of people. It's like everybody can do stupid shit and everybody will watch it.
Well, for me, I look at it this way. It's entertaining. I'm the watcher. I'm not the doer. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But I do love to watch it. Like, I loved watching Jackass, you know, like, fight a bear. I'm like, yes, let's go.
Exactly. You love to watch it. But
if you ask me to get my ass in the forest, get the fuck out of here. You crazy? Nope. I'm good. I ain't fighting no bull. I ain't fighting no. Yo, I watched one of them. They had naked strapped to a chair. And they had I think it was a bear in there somewhere. I'm like, yo, get
and out the, of here. It was the one that they put honey on?
Yeah, they put honey on him. Yo, you think, man, listen, I'm fighting. You understand? I don't care. He's like, oh, man, you crazy. I can't do that stuff. I'm going to jail the next day. I'm in jail because I killed all of them.
Dude, there's one that they put him on a potty patty.
Yeah.
And they strap it to a big.
Oh, crane.
A crane. And they just throw it up and down.
Yeah, that's messed up.
But it's like, we love that. But I believe it's like, slowly that influenced how we watch content.
Yeah.
And now, because of that, you can see a lot of people doing stupid shit, and it's like, why is this person doing that? And then you're like, because I'm watching it.
Like, there was a guy who died from that stuff, man. He had a heart attack.
I believe there's a lot of people.
He was a famous taste tester on TikTok.
Okay.
And he would taste crazy shit, man. And he found one time a box of Batman cereal from 1989.
Okay.
And try to eat it. He'd be like, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But I watched the whole video. I couldn't turn it away. I was like, and then I even watched it again. I was like, I got to rewind again. I got to see him do the gag because I want to know at what moment did it hit him. And like, and now he's dead. And I felt bad. I was like, damn. But he would eat the most disgusting thing. I can't remember. It was a white dude with long curly hair.
But there's a lot of people like that. Like, they just do stupid shit and we watch.
Yeah.
Like, there's one that is called Show Speed. He's a famous YouTuber. He's like, famous YouTuber, and one of his like recent like videos, one was like he wanted to break the record of most backflips in 24 hours, and he was just doing backflips in front of the camera. The record is like 1,000 something.
Yes, I seen him. Yes.
Yeah, and after like 640 something, he was like, I cannot keep doing it. And he kept like doing it because he wanted to break the record. And he was like landing face down, hurting himself. I was like, dude, fucking stop.
Yeah.
And there's other video, he's just jumping a Lamborghini going fast at him. It's like, if you miscalculate for a little bit, you're fucking dead.
Yeah, I seen that guy. I seen him. He does some crazy stuff. I just don't. You know, I find like if you're dumb enough to do it, I'm going to watch it. That's how I see it. I'm going to watch it.
For how much money would you do something? So, okay.
No, I'm good.
Like Jackass. There's one episode that he has like a underwear. They put honey on their underwear. And he has like a whole underwear of bees.
Yeah.
How much?
Nothing.
None.
I wouldn't do it. Because I'll be the one guy that all of a sudden the bee pink, like stung me in the wrong spot. And they're like, and he died. And I'm like, see? And I didn't get to get a damn dollar out of that shit.
You in St. Peter's doors is like, how did you die?
Yeah.
One fucking bee stung me in my dick.
One fucking bee right in the penis, bro. Right in the hole.
He's like,
I didn't know that kills you. They never did the research. They do now.
Yeah. Imagine that that's a cause of death that no one knows because it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, imagine that shit.
No, if a bee stings you in the hole of your dick, you die. It's crazy. Like a reset button. Like, boop.
Yo, facts. That's crazy.
But, Okay, what about, okay, well, some there's the guy that always gets into these places that they sell, like, speakers, and they put, like, music, and then he starts dancing.
No, I never seen that guy.
That's in Jackass. He's like,
he, oh, in Jack, Party Boy.
Party Boy.
That's his name, Party Boy. Yeah, yeah.
How much?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Because, again, my luck, I'd be doing it, and I'd slip on the one slide of the floor that they were like, oh, shit, we thought we dried it all, a piece of sweat. And I slip, fall downstairs, break my ankles, and I'm in the hospital, and it ain't worth it.
There's one that I believe this is my favorite Jackass sketch. It's like, there's like, you're going to call them the M word now, so short people in a bar.
Yeah.
And he's trying to hit on this another short girl. And then another short guy's like, hey, she's my girlfriend. And then the two short guys start fighting.
Yeah.
And then they really hit each other hard, and they go to the ground.
Yeah.
And then comes, like, two, like listen, doctors.
So I have a thing about little people. I don't know why we can't say the M word. I feel like little people, you should embrace that. You should embrace that word.
Yeah.
You should. I mean, make it your own. Make it something positive. Turn it into something positive so I can go back to using it, because I think it's a doper word than little people. I feel little people is insulting.
Little
you're identifying my defect. Why? You don't go to a person who, I mean, I guess you do, because the person who's blind, you call them blind. The person who's deaf, you call them deaf. But that's still, you're identifying the, you know, you don't go to a person who's paralyzed, be like, hey, what's up, paralyzed?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's a paralyzed. Like, you don't say that. Oh, my thing is this. Take the word back. But it's funny. Because the other day I was high as hell, and I was sitting, I forgot what city I was in. I think I was in Nashville, and I watched this little guy get out the car. He jumps out the car. And because he had to jump.
He had to hop.
It was a Fiat 1, but he was walking hard, and he slipped. And I watched him struggle not to fall.
Okay.
And in my mind, I just, I couldn't help but crack up, because I'm like, bro, what are you worried about? What are you going to fall, 17 inches? Like, what are you going to hurt? I'm just saying.
This is not going to hurt.
It's going to, like that. You're good. And he's like, but the noise.
He's going to make a sound like.
Bro, but the noise he did, though, it was like, he, for real.
He was like,
and I was like, oh my God.
That's a gremlin.
I swear, bro. And I was like, oh my God. And I just like, I wanted to help him just fall. Just like, just finish it, bro. You're right there. Come on, get back up. I would have picked him up. I would have been like, it's okay, bro. Come here. It's all right. Ya pasó. Sanagolito. I swear that's how he did, bro. And I was dying because I'm high as shit at the pump waiting for the gas. And I'm like, this could only happen to me. If I tell this story, people are not going to believe what I just saw. I'm like, this only happens to me. And I'm looking around and I'm just like, this cannot be possible. Like, I'm being pranked, but it really happened.
I don't know if you have seen this, but there's some little people, women, that they are baddies and they look hot as fuck. I've seen those videos. I'm like, she's hot.
Yeah, but I don't know if I could do it. I would feel like it's just too weird.
She's like 3'9" of hotness.
It's like, you know. I don't know. It's like a porcelain doll. Like if you grab one of your mom's ceramic dolls, you know what I mean?
You have to hold her here to get her.
I'm good.
I believe I'll do it. Like
I'm good. I'm like, come on. Yeah, piggyback ride. Nah, I'm good.
Imagine the possibilities.
I'm going to get fucked. Bro, you're going to get my ass kicked by a bunch of little people.
She thought I didn't saw her. Whoop my ass. She's like 4'10", I don't know. My dad is short. I have one of niece that she's short.
Yeah.
She's like 16, 15 now. And it's like everybody in the family was so concerned about it.
Yeah.
But dude, she's like super intelligent. She has a fucking dope attitude.
They're regular. That's what I'm saying. So why call them little people? If you don't want them to be offended and not use the M people, just say people.
Exactly.
You know, or a short guy. You know, he's or make a new word. We should make a new word for short for little people.
Enanos.
No.
That is like in Spanish.
Below average. He's the below average.
He's a below average.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound good. Like.
Was better than little people.
Dude, okay.
Yeah, I identify like I'm an elf from you know, the Keebler elf. I got cookies. Little people, come here. Get the rainbow. Like,
This one, I'm going to end the regular episode. Then we can do the bonus content. The bonus content is like 10 minutes. But yeah. I'm going to end the episode on this because the time flew by.
It did. I had a good time, bro.
Yeah, it's a good time. But I'm going to say the this is how in Venezuela. In Venezuela, we don't care about shit. It's like, oh, this might be offensive. We don't care about shit.
Oh, I know.
So this is how we call short people. We call it chichón de piso.
That chichón?
Chichón de piso. Do you know what a chichón is?
A bump?
Like you know, on basements when like the grease or something, and you have like a little...
Oh, a little bubble.
A little bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, eso es un chichón de piso.
Oh, I had nothing to do. I plead the fifth. I understand. If I ever run for president, I can never be president if they catch me saying anything.
No,
about
chichón
that.
De piso. What is your
Fuentes,
for you best nickname? Like, I have two that comes to mind that is like, this is the best nickname that are offensive, because guys, we do super offensive nicknames to each other. Chichón de piso, it was one of the friends of my school. And there we call it Teta Icono. We didn't, because his boobs.
Yeah.
Like, it was a guy, but he. Yeah. It looks like it was we in had, this shape.
Yeah. We had a friend in Brooklyn. We used to call him Mudo because he was deaf.
Okay.
We called him Mudo. In my defense, Mudo, his name is Jason, but he was an asshole just as well.
Okay.
So he would mess with us. So, you know. We, on purpose, we'd just go up to him and so be like, yo, come here. And he'd come up to us and we'd go like that, act like we whisper something in his ear. And he would know, he'd be like, he'd get so mad. We call him Mudo, chill, Mudo. But Mudo, that's my dog. That's my guy. I still talk to him all the time on Instagram. We talk to each other. We don't talk. We type to each other because I can only imagine.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder when he's typing. He's like, yo, we gotta stop this. I'm gonna go to hell.
Hey. Okay, any shows you have? This is gonna come out in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So any shows you have in November?
November 22nd, Chicago Theater Works, Baby Cow. Abby Sanchez and I are producing a show we just started at the Chicago Theater Works. It's a show for the art. It's a show, you know, about we want to bring like just that originality, the beauty of comedy. You understand? Beautiful. And it's a show for the people, by the people. We have vendors from local owned businesses in the neighborhood that we allow to come there to those shows to be on spotlight that night. You know, vendors there, and we don't charge them. There's no hidden agenda here. We don't, hey, give me $500 so you can present yourself. No, this is about the people, for the people. Perfect. And we're bringing headliners. Our first show, we're bringing Cal Perez, formerly known as Baby Cal. Cal Perez is like a social media sensation. He's got like 500,000 followers on Instagram. He's hilarious, bro. So he's making his headlining debut, and he's going to do it in Chicago.
Nice. So November 22nd, and with that, we end the episode. So
yep. And you can buy tickets at calperez.com.
Calperez.com.
And follow me, Anthony Fuentes Comedy. Unless I owe you money, follow Bob.
Adios.